Chapter 6. I didn't see Montgomery for hours. All day, I was trapped in the room. Next door, Dr. Moreau was working. I could hear the puma crying and making terrible noises. As the hours went by, the cries became more human. Sometimes, I rattled the door and called out to Moreau. I asked him to stop his terrible work, but he ignored me. Once, he banged on the door and told me to be quiet. After that, I was frightened that I would be his next victim. I stayed quiet. I tried to think about something else. The books on Montgomery's bookshelves were not very interesting, but I tried to read them. All I could think about was Moreau and what he was doing. I realized that I shouldn't have gone into Moreau's workshop. Now, I was in danger. The books could not distract me. Emling came in and brought me some food. The door was open. I could have pushed him aside and run away, but I didn't. Where would I go? I could escape the room, but I could not escape the island. I took the food and ate it quietly. Emling left me alone. I wondered what I should do. The noises continued all afternoon, and I was afraid. It was late in the afternoon when I heard the door unlock. Montgomery was coming back to the hut. I heard him speaking to Emling before he came into the room. You must tell me what Dr. Moreau is doing. Is it vivisection? Is he cutting up animals and putting them together again? It's wrong. He's a monster. Is it only animals, or is he cutting humans, too? I shouted at Montgomery. He pushed past me into the room. Montgomery shook his head. I could see that he wouldn't answer me. Perhaps Montgomery was going to help Moreau? Maybe they were going to kill me together? I knew I was in danger, but I needed a weapon to protect myself. I grabbed the wooden chair and, with all my strength, I banged it hard against the wall, and the leg of the chair tore off. Montgomery looked cross. I picked up the leg and held it like a sword. What are you doing, man? He shouted. I know what you're going to do to me. I must protect myself. I shouted. I jabbed at Montgomery with my weapon. He stepped backwards into the room. Put that down, he said. No. You won't hurt me. I'll save myself, I called out. The door was open, and I ran out into the courtyard. Stop him. Montgomery called to Emling. The servant ran towards me, but I swung my stick in the air. I did not want to be caught. Get away. I called and ran towards the forest. I could hear Emling running after me, but he soon stopped. Montgomery called him to come back. I ran and ran until my chest hurt. I could hardly breathe. When I knew I was alone and safe, I stopped. Why had Montgomery let me get away so easily? I thought about my plan and realized I was still in danger. I was away from Moreau and Montgomery, but the forest was full of other dangers. I didn't have the skills to look after myself in the wild. I could not hunt a rabbit or catch a fish. I didn't know which berries and fruits were poisonous and which were safe to eat. How would I survive? I had no knowledge of how to take care of myself, and I couldn't even build a shelter. As I walked through the forest, I realized that my plan had been stupid. I could not survive on my own. I would probably starve to death unless Moreau or one of the creatures found me first and killed me. I felt very lonely. There was a break in the trees, and I could see the ocean. The sun would soon start to set. As I looked at the ocean, I thought about drowning myself. That death would be quicker than starving and less terrible than being killed, but I knew I couldn't do it. This adventure I was having was not an adventure I had chosen, but I had to try and survive. Suddenly, there was a large monkey in front of me. It looked like an orangutan. As I looked again, I saw that. This ape looked more like a man than other creatures I had seen. He stood up on his back legs and came towards me. When he spoke, I was terrified. "You in boat?" he said to me. He lifted his hand and pointed towards the ocean. I started to reply, but I was confused. I had never heard a monkey talking. Yes, I came in the boat. The monkey man looked at me, his eyes traveling up and down my body. He stared at my hands with his mouth wide open. Then he lifted his hand and counted his fingers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like you. I wasn't sure what he meant, so I lifted my hand and counted. 2. Later, I discovered that many of the creatures on the island did not have 5 fingers on each hand. Sometimes, they had 4 or only 3. So this ape man was impressed that we were the same. He laughed, then jumped and grabbed the low branch of a tree. He swung from tree to tree just like a monkey. For that moment, he was nothing like a man. But then he let himself drop to the ground and smiled at me. Then, he looked so human. "Excuse me, please, can you tell me where I can find something to eat?" I asked him. "Eat," the monkey man replied. I realized that I had used too many words. I would have to speak simply to him. "Where is food?" I asked. I put my hand to my mouth and pretended to eat. "Ah, food is at huts," the monkey man replied. "Huts, where?" I asked. He laughed quietly. "I'm new here. Please show me," I asked him. I hoped he understood because I was very hungry and needed to rest. The monkey man nodded and walked through the trees. He did not swing from branches but walked so that I could follow him. After a while, I caught up and walked close to him. "How long have you been on this island?" I asked him, looking at the light orange fur all over his body. "How long?" he repeated, but he didn't understand the question. We walked quietly through the forest, surrounded by the sounds of beasts I could not see. We came to a dark passage that led into the ground. It was like a cave. The stone walls were wet, and it was very dark. In the cave, the smell was unpleasant, and I couldn't see anything at all. "Home," the monkey man said. I looked into the darkness but saw nothing. I followed him down into the cave. I put my hands on the damp wall so that I didn't fall over. Slowly, my eyes got used to the darkness and I saw some other creatures. Their features were not clear in the darkness, but I saw their shining eyes. Something cold touched my hand, and I jumped. I looked down and saw a little creature. At first, I thought it was a child, small with pink skin. I looked closer and realized the creature had a face like a sloth. It had a wide nose and a dark, broad smile. The little sloth creature looked up at me with interest. I didn't know what to think. There were other creatures around me, but I couldn't see who they were. The monkey man had disappeared, and I was frightened, but soon he came to my side again. He held out half a coconut and pointed to the ground. I sat down at the edge of the group and nibbled the coconut. The little pink creature was blinking at me, and other creatures were looking at me, too, which made me feel nervous. "It is a man," the monkey man said proudly. "Shut up," said a voice in the darkness. "A man? A man like me?" the monkey man continued. "Is he to live with us?" a voice asked. I was frightened but knew this was my chance to escape from Moro. If I could be friends with these strange men, I could stay away from the doctor. "Yes, I am come to live with you," I replied. I realized that I had to use simple English for the monkey man to understand. "He must learn the law," a voice said. I nibbled my coconut and wondered what they meant. I could see a figure as my eyes grew used to the darkness. He was tall and gray, with no recognizable features on his face. When I looked closer, I saw that he had gray feathers. Half like a man and half like a bird, it was this creature who spoke. "Say the words," the bird man said. Again, I didn't understand what he meant. He began to mutter a strange chant. The other creatures copied, speaking loudly as if they had said these words many times before. "Say it," the monkey man said to me, his voice encouraging. Together with the others in the cave, I copied the birdman as he said the chant. "Not to go on 4 legs. This is the law. Are we not men?" Not to suck up drink. This is the law. Are we not men? Not to eat flesh or fish. This is the law. Are we not men? Not to chase other men. This is the law. Are we not men? We repeated the chant, and he said, I am the sayer of the law. We don't break the law, the monkey man said. Or he will punish us. Who? Who will punish you? I asked. The monkey man pointed out of the cave, up the hill towards the huts. Him, the monkey man said. You mean Dr. Moreau? I asked. The monkey man flinched. This is the house of pain. This is the hand that wounds. This is the hand that heals, the sayer of the law said these words in a serious voice. After that, it was quiet in the cave. Some of the smaller creatures, like the sloth child, who seemed much simpler than the monkey man, chattered to themselves, repeating words from the law like they were a song. I finished eating my coconut and wondered who ate the rabbits. After all, weren't these creatures prohibited from eating meat? Perhaps they were just for Moreau, Montgomery, and Emling to eat. But who had killed the rabbit I had seen the day before? My head was full of questions. Suddenly, there was a crash outside at the mouth of the cave. Prendick! Prendick, you fool, called Montgomery. Come out! I could hear the barks of the hounds that had been on the boat. Clearly, they had used the dogs to track me by my scent. Get him! Moreau called into the cave. Bring that man! I looked around at my new friends, but saw that they were following his orders. They were not my friends. In an instant, they were moving towards me. No, don't! I cried. They grabbed me and tried to drag me towards the cave entrance. I fought for my life. The smaller creatures were easy to push away, and I needed to escape. With all my energy, I fought off the birdman and other creatures and ran to the back of the cave. There, I saw a small gap in the cave wall. Light came into the cave through the gap, and I squeezed myself through the gap and fell out into the forest on the other side of the cave. However, Moreau had not seen me yet. I only had a moment before they saw me. I had no time to think, only to run. I dashed through the trees, and the branches cut my skin as I raced past. My heart beat like a drum in my chest. Now, I could hear the sound of footsteps chasing behind me, so I ran faster. Not looking where I went, I suddenly came to a ledge. I could not stop fast enough. Thorns scratched me as I fell into a ravine. At the bottom, I almost landed on some rocks. I paused, panting, to check if I had broken any bones. Nothing was broken, but I was bruised and covered in blood. However, I could not stop because Dr. Moreau and his followers would find me soon and kill me. The thought of Dr. Moreau causing my death seemed terrifyingly painful. For a moment, I considered ending my own life by jumping into the ravine again and landing on the rocks below. It would be quick, and I thought it might be better to die that way than endure Dr. Moreau's torture, but I couldn't bring myself to do it because I still wanted to live. So I forced myself to stand up and ran towards the